Wait a second. Is that love? Is that real love? When you get butterflies in your stomach and you get all those feelings and emotions and your tongue is tied in the knot, I don't know what to say. Is that love? What about biblically speaking? Let me ask you a question. Let's say that you think you're in love with somebody, but yet you don't spend any time with them. You don't talk to them. You don't go visit them. You don't learn anything about them. You really don't make them a priority in your life at all. Maybe, you know, Easter and Christmas. Ooh, I guess you know where I'm going here. Welcome, this is Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane in Kannapolis, Concord area. You can look that up on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We also live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, Sunday mornings, 10:45, and Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. He's going to deliver a message today entitled Understanding True Love. Now, a lot of people claim to love Jesus. A lot of people claim, but yet they've got no evidence of that. They can't prove it. They can say it, but they can't prove it. Don't know what I mean? Listen closely. You're going to find out. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Some of the most familiar words that we all hear, we've all spoken, we've all heard, three little words: I love you. But do we really understand what it is? I'm talking about true, true love. Turn with me, please, in your Gospel of St. John, chapter number 14. I'm going to look at just two or three verses here. John 14, first of all, look in verse number 21, and then skip down to verse 23 and verse 24. And share a message about understanding true love. John 14, verse 21, and then 23 and 4. These are, of course, if you have a red letter edition in your Bible, you see these are the words of our Lord Jesus as he gives a great discourse to his disciples. This is just a portion of it. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." You know, we couldn't help but remember, as we read the glorious Gospel of John and the epistles that John wrote as well, we just couldn't help but know and remember that John now, who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John was the one who was called the beloved disciple. Didn't mean Jesus didn't love all the others, he did. But John was the one, if you remember, who leaned his head over on the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. John writes these words not as some huge theological discourse. John writes these words out of a conversation that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' conversation with the disciples here was interrupted two or three different times while he tried to give it. But Jesus was never sidetracked from what he wanted to share with them and, of course, with us. Jesus' words here are simple. Simple words, but they're profound. Beloved, listen. We dare not read these words casually and then pass on to some other portion which is greater. Listen, there are no greater portions than what you just heard me read here from the Word of God. Jesus tells his disciples here what true love to God is and what true love from God to a Christian should be like. Now, if we're going to ever get the real knowledge of what true love really is, we're going to have to get that knowledge from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, in fact, was the one who spoke these words that we read here today. Now, if we're going to ever understand true love and be able to undertake to share true love and to shine forth with true love, then we're going to have it from the Lord Jesus Christ. He shares a couple things here I want to share with you today. Just two major things he shares. He shares some words about the manifestation of love and the revelation of love. First of all, let's look together at what Jesus talks about the manifestation of true love really is. It's a true manifestation of love from one who says he loves God. Now, there's a way to tell when a person says they love God. There's really a way to tell if that person's love for God is really real or genuine or not. These words are not John's opinion. These words are not my opinion or nobody else's opinions. These words are from the Lord Himself. Now, what does Jesus have to say about that person who says he manifests his love, that he really loves God? Two things he says here. He talks about, first of all, a person professing to love God, and then he gives the proof here of one who really does love God. First of all, look at the profession here. If a man says he loves the Lord. Now, we speak a lot about love, and we sing about love. We preach about love. We write about love. We hear a lot about love, don't we? But I wonder if we really imagine what true love is. Do we ever stop and think about the requirements of true love? The actual terms of true love? Most people think love is one thing, and in essence, it's not really that. It's not what we think it is sometimes. It's not what we really expect. Here's what most people think when they make a profession that they love God. First of all, it's a profession. Anybody can say, I love God. There's many professions made in the local churches of people who say they love God. They make that profession, and then where are they? You never seem to see them anymore. A mere profession does not prove that you love God. A mere profession that you love God will never produce true love. Others profess that they love God by the work that they do. Well, you can tell by the way I work that I love God. Listen, work will never, never produce true love. Work is noble. Don't misunderstand me. We need to all work for the Lord, don't we? And serve the Lord, don't we? Work is a very, very noble thing to do. But work will never produce true love for God. Others think, well, I prove my love to God because I'm just meek and mild and lowly in heart, like Jesus said he was. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, to be meek and lowly in heart is a good, noble thing to do or to be, isn't it? But being meek and being humble does never produce true love. Now, that's what most people think love to God is, a profession that you love God, you work for Him, and you're meek and lowly in spirit. All these professions are good. Nothing wrong with professing to love God. Not a thing wrong with working for the Lord. Not a thing wrong with being meek and humble. But none of these come from real reasons of true love. They'll never demonstrate. Professions will not. Work will not. Being humble will never demonstrate true love. They all spring from some other sources or reasons. But Jesus talks about in these verses here, not just about a profession of love. He tells you a way that you can see the proof that a person's love is really genuine. Now, what is then the proof of a person's real love for God? It's not our zeal. It's not our humbleness. It's not our profession. Jesus says the only way to prove that a person really loves God is to keep my commandments. Keep my words, he says here in these verses. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Well, you don't prove it when you work, or you sing, or you preach, or you're humble. You prove it by doing what Jesus said. In John chapter 2, the marriage of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, when they ran short on the wine for the dinner, Jesus turned the water into wine, and Mary, his mother, said, whatever the Savior, the Son of God says, whatever Jesus says to you to do, do it. That's how you can really tell if a person really loves God or not, is that you do what he tells you to do. That's a proof of real love. That's the kind of love that Jesus seeks from us who are his children. So, he says, he that hath my commandments. Many people work for Jesus, but they don't obey the commandments. Now, I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about all the commands God gives us in the Word of God. Many commands God gives us beyond the ten. Such things as this. You prove your love for me if you keep my commandments. You know, we make over a lot of times and we give a lot of credit to a lot of people, a lot of work that they do for the Lord, and I'm not minimizing work for the Lord. But listen, keeping, obeying the commands of God proves our love, true love, to the Lord. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Just an example. Do you love God? He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. That's a command. That's not an option. That's not a vote. That's not a choice. God commands you to come to church. If you love him, you'll come to church. Amen? Another command. He commands us, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. He commands us to tithe our income. That's not a choice. That's not up for a vote. You don't have a vote in this. That's a command of God. You see, just two simple things. If you don't come to church, you don't love God. If you don't tithe, you don't love God. Not really like he says. It's all hinged on obedience. Doing what he tells you to do. You see, when you obey the Lord, God gives you, let's say, a command. Let's say, for instance, the command I just mentioned, coming to church. God commands you to come to church. When you obey him and you come to church, when you obey him in this matter, God then moves you forward to something else. When God commands you to pay your tithe and you don't pay your tithe, then you're being disobedient and God holds you at bay right there. He won't move you forward from the last time you disobeyed him till you come back and start obeying that last command that he gave you. It's that important, beloved. It really is. So the proof of real true love for God is that we'll obey, we'll be obedient to his commands. If we don't, we're stymied, so to speak. Go back to the last command God gave you and see if you obeyed it or not. If you obeyed it, God will move you forward. If you disobeyed it, God's going to hold you right there. You can't progress. You won't mature beyond that point till you start obeying what he told you to do. So that's kind of the manifestation of true love. It comes right down to a simple fact. You do what he tells you to do. That's the way we prove our true love for the Lord. But Jesus speaks in these verses about not just a manifestation of love, how we show God we really love him. He speaks about a realization of true love, what God will do for us who truly love him. This is the second part of this discourse here. How God reveals his love to us as we prove our love to him. Notice there's a result in it. When you say you love God and you obey him, it proves you love him, and then there's a result that comes, a revelation God gives. The result is this. Jesus says, when you love God, God's going to love you. I'm going to love you, he says. It's simple. Listen, this is not a contradiction. A lot of folks say, well, you know, you're contradicting the Bible when you say we've got to love God first. No, the Bible says God loved us first. That enables us to love him. That's not a contradiction in the Bible. No, it never has been, never would be. We respond to him and obey him, then the result, God's love flows to us. When it flows to us, it flows unchecked and unhindered. We place ourselves, many times, beloved, listen to me carefully. We place ourselves out of the consciousness of God's love in our heart because of our disobedience. That's why a lot of folks don't care if they come to church or not. They don't care if they give to God or not. They don't care if they take part in what the church is doing or not. It's not important to them. They've lost consciousness of the love of God because of the disobedience in their life. The revelation of God revealing Himself to us is a crown and the glory which rests on the person who walks in the paths of obedience unto the Lord. These are the paths of righteousness for His dear name's sake. This is to the person who has heard the Word of God and has obeyed the Word of God. He says, my Father will love him, and I will love him. We'll manifest, we'll come to be with him, abide with him. This makes the darkest day in my life, and speak for me, the darkest day in my life brightens with a great sunshine. I understand God loves me. God loves me. You think about that. God loves you. As if you were the only person in the whole wide world, like God just centers His love upon you. Doesn't matter if anybody else loves you or not. God loves you. Christ loves me. And God sets His love and rests His love on us who are in the pathway of duty, in the pathway of obedience to the Lord. Obedience, church, is what we need from God's children today. Now, we need work. Oh, yes, we always need church workers. We always need to be humble. We do. We always need to make professions and really let people know we really love God and prove that we love Him. But obedience is what we need in the church today. Not someone doing some heroic deed or doing something so special that everybody else just gives you praise for it. Listen, it's in the thousands of things that we do on a daily basis that nobody sees but God. That's what makes the difference, isn't it? Obey God. The next time you're tempted and a temptation comes to your life, whatever sort it may be, just remember, I've got to obey God. I've got to do what God said to do. And when you do, the temptation will go. The next time you're having a difficult time in your life, you're hurting because of your obedience to the Lord, just remember, Jesus hurt before you did. Remember, Jesus loves you. Well, folks say, well, preacher, that's just too restrictive. I don't want to live my life that way. Listen to me, beloved. That is not restriction. That is the greatest and highest form of freedom, is obeying the Lord. So when God makes a revelation, it's because of a result. We've obeyed Him, and the result is He loves us. Now, what is the reward in it? Every time God gives us a new requirement, it gives you a new opportunity to learn and rediscover something wonderful about our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time Jesus confronts you, and He does, and He will, He'll confront us with something He wants us to give up or something He wants us to do, something brand new that we've never done before or something we've never given up before. When He confronts you with this and you yield to Him and you obey Him, that is another chance for you and I to really get a newer, clearer vision of who Jesus is and really the unveiling of our Lord Jesus to us, of His glory in our lives. There never seems to be a time we could ever grow as a church or as an individual without complete obedience to the Lord. Beloved, listen to me. I'm going to close shortly. God waits today. Our Lord Jesus waits today to bless us, to reveal Himself to us, to manifest Himself to us, to abide with us, to bless us, to love us, in other terms you can imagine. He waits to do that for you and do that for me and do that for our church. But we've got to obey His last command. What was His last command in your life? You know what it is. And you know if you obeyed it or not. And you know if you disobeyed it or not. You know that. If we're ever going to have real fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ our Son, church, listen, we've got to learn to stand where Jesus stands. We've got to affirm what Jesus affirms and condemn what Jesus condemns and identify with Jesus and His Word. So if I had to summarize the whole sermon in about one sentence, I would say this: we prove and understand true love when we obey what He commands us to do. Now here's a question I want to raise to us in closing. It's a personal question to you. It's a personal question to me. It's a personal question to our church family. Here's a question: how far are we from the things for which Jesus stands? The very things sometimes that led Jesus to the cross of Calvary. As we truly love God and understand true love and obey Him, He loves us, He reveals Himself to us, and rewards us in measures way beyond you could ever comprehend in your life. You ever wonder why some people just seem to be so happy all the time, just rejoicing in the Lord? They're obeying God. There's no happiness, no satisfaction, no peace in disobedience. Whatsoever He says unto you, do it. I want to close, read those verses again. I want you to listen to them one more time. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's the test. You obey His command. That proves you love Him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to have Jesus real in your life? You want to feel Jesus' presence in your life? Obey Him. Then He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So you see, don't be upset with the preacher. These are God's words. These are John's words. They're not the preacher's words. It's God's word. God says, if you really love me, you will keep my words. You will obey me. You will keep my commandments. If you don't, He says, you don't really love me. You don't really love me if you don't obey me. So, that's the test. Are we obeying Him or not as a church? Are we obeying Him or not as an individual? You know if you are, you know if you're not. Our church knows if we are, our church knows if we're not. So there comes a time when He's speaking to His disciples of today, to your heart and mine, it's a time of decision making for disciples. We've got to decide to obey Him. If you want God to bless our church, if you want God to bless your life, if you want the blessings of God to flow from us to us unchecked and unhindered, it's just a simple matter. It's profound, to say the least, but it's simple. Just start obeying Him. Start doing what He said. Start living like He commands us to live. And then only will His love flow, His manifestation flow to us and bless us as we really want Him to bless us, don't we? I want God to bless me. I don't mean to be selfish, but I want God to bless me, don't you? Don't you want God to bless you? Don't you want God to bless our church? He is blessing us to a degree, yes. But He wants to bless us even more if we'll obey more. So that's the whole point of the message. He that hear my word, He said, and keep it. He has my commandments, and you do them. What about it today? The first command is this: repent of your sins. Obey the Lord. Come to Him. Repent of your sins. Invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Master. That's the first command. Beyond the greatest command of all, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, and anything else you might have. That's the greatest of all commands. But then He commands us, men everywhere, Jesus said, need to repent. It begins in obedience right there with repentance. giving your heart to Jesus, obeying Him in that, and inviting Him to come in. If you've not done that, you ought to do that today. It begins there. And after that, it's a lifelong commitment of obeying the Lord one day at a time. I can't obey God for next month. I may not be here next month. I may be in heaven. You can't either. But I can commit to obey Him today. And as I obey Him today, He'll give me new commands tomorrow. I can obey those tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next until I meet Jesus one day. To Christians, it all hinges on obedience, not work, not professing what you say. The devils believe the Bible and tremble. Not in professions, not in working, not in just being humble. It's in obeying the Lord. Would you obey Him today? I'm going to give us an opportunity. If God's speaking to your heart about a matter in your life, maybe He's told you something He wants you to do, something in your life, you know what it is. He's put that command before you. And here you are, listening, hearing what God's saying to you. Here's the matter. Will you obey and do it? Or will you try to put it off? If you don't obey, you stop right there. What will you do? Lord Jesus, thank You for the privilege to know You. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to obey You. Thank You for the privilege to have Jesus love us and the Father through Christ love us and manifest Yourself to us as we obey You. Help us, Lord, to be obedient children. Lord, You show us when there's a matter in our life set before us that You place there. And You command our obedience. Help us to obey today. Maybe there's someone who hears us, views us, someone here today who knows they need to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And You put that command before them to repent. Help them, Lord, to obey today. Maybe there's a child of God who has something placed before them in their life You place there. And they know what it is and they know what they must do to obey it. Lord, give them the grace of God to obey it today. And those who may be viewing us on Facebook, Lord, we ask that You might help them too. As they're facing decisions and commands of God too, help them to obey, that You might flow forth Your grace in their life unhindered. This we ask in Jesus' name, for all the honor and glory and praise belongs to You. We ask You this day to help us to do what You command us to do. In Christ's name, amen. Whatever God has said to your heart today, whatever He wants you to do to obey, you need to do that. If you want to grow, if you want to mature, if you want God's blessings in your life, you're going to have to obey. Is there any other way other than obedience? No, there's not. Would you do that? Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing that God invites us, sinful creatures as we are, He invites us to come to Him for cleansing, to come to Him for salvation, to come to Him for blessings, because the old hymn says, from God, from whom all blessings flow. The next time God really blesses your life, blesses your soul, blesses our church, let's remember to give Him the glory and honor and praise. Amen.
Wow, what a message. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, 1045 Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. God bless you.